in a rare show of bipartisanship, the U.S. Senate easily passed a package of bills designed to address the nation's opioid epidemic.
It creates, expands, and renews programs across several agencies. Among other things, the legislation aims to prevent fentanyl from being shipped through the Postal Service and allows doctors to prescribe more medication to help people break their opioid addictions.
Republican Rob Portman of Ohio said on the Senate floor on Monday that the package doesn't have everything that everybody wants, but that it's a step in the right direction.
Congress is committing itself to actually putting politics aside. It's not just bipartisan, I think it's nonpartisan, in dealing with the real epidemic that's out there and helping the people we represent. And it's not a moment too soon.
The 70 bills come with a price tag of $8.4 billion. So what do they cover, what's left out, and what happens next?
Colby Itkowitz is a health reporter at the Washington Post. She also heads up their Health 202 newsletter. Colby, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
We know opioids are a huge problem in America, but explain how big a problem they really are.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw 72,000 overdose deaths last year, of which close to 50,000 of them came from opioids. And most of those came from what you said in your promo, which is fentanyl. It's a synthetic opioid that is being laced. Heroin, cocaine, it's being used in these drugs. And some people are taking heroin and not even knowing that there's fentanyl in it. It's potent and toxic and highly fatal.
And we talked about there being 70 bills in this package. Of course, we can't go through each of them, but what are some of the most important measures that were approved this week?
Yeah, so one is this section by Senator Rob Portman, and basically what it would do, it would close a loophole to ensure that the U.S. Post Service is checking to make sure that fentanyl is not being shipped. Commercial carriers already have to do this. They need to screen their packages, find out who they're from. But the U.S. Postal Service did not have to do that. And so it was mostly coming over from China, but it was pretty easy to get fentanyl into America. So that's the one that people are saying might make the most difference. Now, there's obviously, you said there's 70 different bills. There's a number of proposals, pretty narrow in scope. Another one that people talk about a lot are these recovery centers. They'd be grant programs for states to create recovery centers for people suffering from substance abuse and addiction. They could go there and get, they could have their recoveries there, get job training, temporary housing, help to wean off their medication or their drugs.
I want to go back to what you said about the restrictions now on mailing drugs like fentanyl. In practice, how does that get enforced? Because there's got to be many, many packages being mailed every day. They can't possibly screen them all.
Yeah, and the way I understand it, it's going to be a percentage. They'll have to screen a certain percentage of packages, and so they're not going to be able to catch every package with fentanyl that's coming into America. But what they hope is that it's going to curb it, that at the very least that it'll cut down and maybe discourage fentanyl from coming into the country. Now, if you talk to experts and public health advocates, what they'll say is there's very little you can do to stop the flow of drugs into America, that we've seen that for the last several decades, and that if you really want to make inroads when it comes to the opioid epidemic, you need to start with prevention and treatment programs, and that's where you need to invest your money. But this might make a small dent in how much fentanyl is on the streets.
The vote for this package, as we said, was a rare show of bipartisanship. In fact, one of the senators said it's actually a show of nonpartisanship on an
right.
issue that's so important. But there was one dissenting vote, and that was Utah Republican Mike Lee. What did he give for his reason for voting against it?
You know, I haven't. I reached out to his office immediately after the vote and never heard back, and I haven't seen him give a direct answer, although what I've heard from others is that he is just a states' rights guy. And so while he believes that the opioid epidemic is serious and real, he does believe that it should be up to the states to solve the problem, and the federal government shouldn't have these kind of sweeping national programs to address it.
We're talking with Colby Itkowitz right now. She's a health reporter at the Washington Post, and we're talking about the group of bills that were passed by the U.S. Senate this week addressing, trying to address the opioid abuse and addiction crisis here in the United States. Now, Colby, you noted in one of your stories that public health advocates wanted a lot more money to do what they said was proper fighting of the opioid epidemic. This package would cost about $8.4 billion. How much more were they looking for, and where did they want to see it directed?
Oh, I mean, I've talked to public health advocates who say that we need to see a funding that's on par with what we pay for HIV and AIDS, which is something like $25 billion a year. And so they want a huge infusion of money, and they want that money to go directly into treatment programs, particularly around medication-assisted treatment, which is allowing doctors to administer things like buprenorphine, which is a form of an opioid that, taken in small doses, can help with cravings and can help slowly kind of wean you off. And right now, doctors are only able to give that out to a small number of patients. You need all these special waivers to do it. And what public health advocates say is those life-saving drugs need to be in the hands of more doctors, and the clinics and the treatment centers that provide it need to be everywhere in every town all across America.
Now, the Senate passed these bills this week, on Monday. In June, the House passed a similar group of bills, but they aren't exactly the same. What are the major differences between the House version and the Senate version?
Right. So they're similar, but there are a few sticking points. One that I actually wrote about this morning that I hadn't even been familiar with until someone brought it to my attention. And essentially what the House bill would do is they would allow the Attorney General, in this case Jeff Sessions, to schedule synthetic drugs like fentanyl. And what that would mean is they'd be able to criminalize them, penalize them as a specific schedule of drugs. The Attorney General would be allowed to set those penalties. Now, that's in the House bill and not the Senate bill. And far-right groups like the ACLU, all the way to libertarian groups like the Freedom Works Coalition, are dead set against giving the Attorney General that kind of power. They also say it reinstates the war on drugs, which is all research has shown was unsuccessful. So that's going to be a sticking point behind the scenes. Another major sticking point is this very obscure 1965 rule called the IMD exclusion. Essentially what that says is that Medicaid will not pay for substance abuse treatment in mental health facilities that have more than 16 beds. And so if you have a co-occurring disorder, meaning you have schizophrenia, but you also have a substance abuse disorder, and you're in a mental health facility, you can't simultaneously have Medicaid paying for your substance abuse treatments. So what the House would do is lift that, but only for people with opioid addiction. What Democrats have said is that should be true for all addiction. And so the Senate just didn't even want to deal with anything that controversial. They just wanted to get it passed. So they didn't even put it in their bill, but it's in the House bill, and they're going to have to negotiate that before they get a final bill to the president.
And is there a timeline that they have to stick with to get this passed, or can they take as long as is necessary to get that reconciliation done?
They can certainly take as long as they want. However, they are eager to get this passed before the midterm elections. Republicans and Democrats want this issue to be something that they can go home to their constituents and campaign on and say, look, we got something accomplished on this public health epidemic. Namely, the reason why we're seeing 70 bills in the Senate version and something like 50 bills in the House version is because almost every member of Congress wanted a piece of this. They wanted their name on it in some way. And so what we're hearing is that they're rushing to get a final bill to the president before the midterms in November.
And President Trump did declare the opioid epidemic a public health emergency. Do we know how he feels about this particular bundle of bills?
Well, he, before the Senate had decided when they were going to vote, he had tweeted specifically about the fentanyl issue, the issue of getting fentanyl through the mail into America. And he had tweeted that it was an urgent issue and that it needed to be done and Senate needed to get its act together and vote on it immediately. So we know that on that issue specifically, he felt quite passionate And so there's no question that when this package arrives on his desk that he would sign it.
Well, Colby, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Colby Itkowitz is a health reporter at The Washington Post. She also heads up their Health 202 newsletter. We talked with her about the package of opioid bills that passed the Senate this week.